Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities. It's the dream of many a reader, a vast library stocked with beautiful leather-bound tomes in all sizes and colors, and inside their stiff covers, pages of sepia-toned vellum with the words of the greatest writers in history, like Austen, Dumas, and Shakespeare. Rare book collections often have these volumes in their own libraries, some behind glass, others in thick vaults. But one book has eluded every reader and collector for over 100 years, and for good reason. Because no one can get to it. It had started life as a series of poems written in the 11th and 12th centuries by Persian polymath Omar Khayyam. In the mid-1800s, a poet named Edward Fitzgerald decided to translate these quatrains into a collection called The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Rubaiyat is Persian, by the way, for quatrain. Fitzgerald's book became quite popular all the way into the 20th century, so much so that English bookstore owner John Stonehouse commissioned a special edition of the collection for his own shop. In 1910, he went to London bookbinders Sangorski and Sutcliffe, known for their impeccable quality and flair for the dramatic. Stonehouse instructed co-owner Francis Sangorski to do it and do it well, there is no limit, put what you like into the binding, charge what you like for it. Money, in other words, was no object, because the amount that the final product would bring would make it all worth it. The front and back covers were made of hundreds of layers of leather. 1,000 jewels were inlaid on the front and back within their own settings. Gold tooling adorned the elaborate covers, while end sheets bearing images of peacocks, skulls, and Persian symbols were made for the inside. The designs of these end pages were meant to represent life and death. It was called the Great Omar, and it was the definition of opulence and extravagance. At the time, Stonehouse called it the finest and most remarkable specimen of binding ever designed or produced at any period or in any country. Completed in 1911, it represented the best that Sangorski and Sutcliffe had to offer. Now, the store that Stonehouse managed, Sutherland's, put it up for sale at the eye-watering price of £1,000, equivalent to about £120,000 today. But not everyone was taken with the book. Many believe that its design was ostentatious and tacky, and this only made it harder to sell. But then a book dealer named Gabriel Wells stopped into Sutherland's. He was visiting from New York and offered the shop £800 for the Great Omar. Stonehouse declined the offer and countered at £900, but they still couldn't come to an agreement. It was soon decided that the Great Omar would go to New York to be sold anyway, where it might find more willing buyers. The book was loaded onto a ship and was sent out, although it ran into some trouble when U.S. customs officials required a hefty duty tax to be paid in order for the tome to be released. Refusing to pay the fee, the Omar made its way back to London, still unwanted by any buyers or collectors. The bookstore's owner, Henry Cecil, wanted it sold as quickly as possible. He had been kept out of the loop on its creation and demanded that he recoup at least some of the money that had been spent on making it. And so it went up for auction at Sotheby's, where it sold for £405 to Gabriel Wells. It was April of 1912, and the Great Omar was loaded onto the next ship headed to its new home of New York City. Sadly, just a few days into the trip, the vessel struck an iceberg and sank to the bottom of the Atlantic. That's right. The gold and jewel-encrusted Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam now resides somewhere within the wreckage of the unsinkable Titanic, seemingly lost forever. Many years after the sinking, the plans for the Omar were discovered by Sutcliffe's nephew, Stanley Bray, who had been hired as an apprentice bookbinder. He thought it would be a good idea to remake the book, jewels and all, and spent most of the 1930s cloning the work that his uncle and Sangorsky had done. By the time it was finally finished, though, the Germans were flying over London. Bombs dropped from the sky, sending everyone fleeing. Bray did his best to protect his new Great Omar, wrapping it up and putting it in a vault on 4th Street for safekeeping. Well, as it so happened, 4th Street was the first place the Germans bombed. That area was reduced to ash and rubble in an instant. Once the debris had been cleared away sometime later, the vault was located and Bray's Omar was found. The covers looked to be in fine shape. The protective wrapping and the safety of the vault appeared to have saved this second edition from destruction. Unfortunately, looks, as they often are, were deceiving, because as soon as the book was opened, it was clear that the pages and much of the leather had been melted by the heat from the blasts. It seems that no matter how hard Sangorsky and Sutcliffe and Bray tried, a bejeweled version of the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam was never meant to exist. Some say the book was cursed. Others, such as Sir John Fortescue, King Edward VII's librarian within Windsor Castle, would call it the most eminent failure, perhaps, that I ever saw. Sought-after and popular books often come with that age-old compliment, "I couldn't put it down." But for this book, at least, the opposite has always been true. No one can pick it up.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Our favorite movies have a tendency to stick in our brains forever. We incorporate memorable lines into everyday conversations. We shiver every time the music swells during the climax, and we happily press play on our remotes when we need something to make us feel better after a bad day. Whether it's the terrifying 2 notes of John Williams' Jaws theme, or the way Humphrey Bogart tells Ingrid Bergman to get on that plane at the end of Casablanca, the movies that shape our lives are as much a part of us as our DNA. But there's one line that's been uttered in over 400 films and television shows, and that number keeps growing, although it's not really a line of dialogue. It's more of a pained yell. It first appeared in the 1951 Western Distant Drums, starring Gary Cooper. In the film, which takes place during the Second Seminole War of 1840, a group of soldiers help get several prisoners to safety by trekking through the Florida Everglades. The sound is heard as the party navigates a swamp, and one of the men is devoured by a hungry alligator. According to the stories, the scream that the character lets out as he's being eaten was recorded by American singer Sheb Woolley. And Woolley went on to appear in a number of high-profile films, including High Noon, The Outlaw Josie Wales, and Hoosiers. But he is perhaps best known for his hit novelty song, The Purple People Eater, released in 1958. What Woolley didn't realize at the time was that his scream would endure well beyond his death in 2003. In fact, it might outlast us all. The recording was cataloged by the studio as "Man Getting Bit by an Alligator and He Screams," which doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. It wouldn't gain its common name until after its use in a 1953 film called The Charge at Feather River. This was another Western, one in which a character named Private Wilhelm screamed after being shot in the leg by an arrow. This now iconic moment tied the sound effect to the character, and almost 25 years later, it would gain its much shorter and memorable name, the Wilhelm Scream. But why did it take nearly a quarter of a century for the Wilhelm Scream to catch on? For that, we turn to a man named Ben Burtt. Burtt was a Hollywood sound designer who only had two films under his belt when he was tapped to join a little science fiction movie called Star Wars in 1977. Unlike other sci-fi films of the past, which relied on electronic sounds to give them a futuristic feel, Burtt developed an ear for more natural sound effects. For example, the sound a lightsaber makes is a combination of an idling film projector and the feedback emitted by a broken television. But for one scene in the picture where a stormtrooper falls to his death, Burtt needed a sound effect that was perfect for the moment, and so he turned to Private Wilhelm's faded scream from The Charge at Feather River. The Wilhelm scream became Burtt's signature, an indication that he had worked on a film's sound design. You can hear it in the Indiana Jones movies, the Star Wars sequels and prequels, and even 1988's Willow, all of which Burtt had had a hand in. But a funny thing happened after Burtt first used the scream. It took on a life of its own. Since 1977, the Wilhelm scream has become a staple of the motion picture industry, appearing in hundreds of movies and TV shows like Disney's Toy Story, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from 2002. It also became something of an Easter egg for film buffs everywhere. In fact, at a 2006 screening of The Charge at Feather River, a large portion of the audience erupted with applause when Private Wilhelm's leg was punctured by the arrow. They weren't happy that he was injured. They were just glad to hear his iconic scream in all its blood-curdling glory. I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show, and you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.